But I'm sure they looked at some person that knew a little bit about Auburn and the SEC, and obviously didn't win a lot of games at Iowa State. But he hired a very good staff. Ted Roof is his defensive coordinator, and he took a chance with Gus Malzahn coming from Tulsa. It didn't work out very well at Arkansas. But I think, again, I think this is a good offense. I don't know whether it's for the duration at one school. I don't know what you can get out of it in the long run. But as we speak, you know, they're really executing well. But Gene's got some pretty good players, and I will brag about that. We left him most everybody coming back from a team that we should have won at least games last year. But they're going to be very competitive. And with Chris Todd even doing better than I ever thought after his shoulder surgery in January last year, I think they got a real good opportunity. They just need to stay healthy, as every team in the SEC. You know, depth is just is very essential, and not many people have two and three deep at every position.
You mentioned Todd and his shoulder. Did you know that he had a what happened on the shoulder last year? Did you know going into the season he had a bad shoulder? Was it injured during the season? What happened?
He got it injured in junior college the year before. Chris Todd was signed at Texas Tech. It was him and Graham Harrell for quarterback position. Both of them competed the first year. He played on and off for Texas Tech the first year. The second year, Mike Leeds says we're going to have a situation where we're going to find the quarterback that's going to be the number one. We're not going to alternate whoever that's going to be. The other one's going to be watching on the bench. Well, Graham Harrell went out. Chris Todd was odd man out. He went to a junior college for a year. We signed him. The last game in junior college season, he fell on his shoulder, kind of like Sam Bradford did. And, you know, it didn't have to need surgery, but he never regained his strength. And so after going through last season, after I was gone, I think they were going to operate on it anyway. They went in Jimmy Andrews in Birmingham. Dr. Andrews cleaned it up and made him a lot better, and it's a lot stronger. And I mean, he got to where he couldn't throw a 15-yard pass. And when that happened, other teams saw that, and he was sitting duck, and everybody ganged up, and so we had to go another direction. It wasn't Chris's; it was just, you know, the situation where he was injured.
You won your last four games against Tennessee, and I wanted to ask you what typified a Tennessee team that you coached against.
Well, very physical. You know, knew how to run the football. Defense was solid. That, you know, they didn't do a whole lot defensively. You didn't have to break a lot of film down on John Chavis because he'd run the same things for years. And when you do that, you know a lot about it, and your players grow up in it. You know, it just they made a lot of plays. And so you're able to game plan. And the problem at Tennessee right now is, you know, their offensive line's really not very good. And they're playing hard, but they've had injuries. They have had a lot of defections since Lane's got there. And that's where it starts, is your offensive line. Eddie Grant, a running back coach there, worked for me for 15 years, and he's been really impressed with, you know, Hardesty, the running back, and, of course, Bryce Brown and those guys, but they just don't have any experience in the offensive line to move the ball consistently. And then, as I said earlier, you know, this is not an easy offense to learn, especially for a fifth-year senior quarterback in Compton, and he'll struggle all year long. I've been in that situation before, but I looked at the Florida game and watched that, and I liked a lot of things that I saw in terms of they made it a lot simpler, and they ran the football, and they gave themselves a chance, and they didn't win that game. But they weren't going to win it anyway if they didn't give themselves a chance in the fourth quarter, and at least they were in the game. You know, if they'd come out and thrown it 50 times a game, it would have been ugly. But, you know, right now they've got to do whatever it takes to get themselves a chance to win, try to stay healthy, play good on defense. Kicking game's got to get a little bit better. You can't let somebody run a kickoff back on you. But those things kind of build up on you. But, you know, it's interesting to watch this team. They've got a lot of work to do.
You mentioned watching the Tennessee-Florida game. What are your thoughts on Tennessee's talent level right now?
Well, defensively, I like their – I think they've got good depth at the defensive line. And I've watched a lot of guys come in and out. You know, Ed Orgeron and I worked together for a long time down at Miami. Ed's a good football coach. I think linebacker, they're a little short there, especially losing the middle linebacker this week. And I guess he's out. I hear he's got a knee injury.
Correct.
And then, you know, they're going to have some depth problems there. His secondary is good. It's not great. Eric Berry, you know, he is the guy, obviously. He's a heck of a football player. So defensively, you know, I think they're pretty good. I think the defensive ends are good. offensively, they just don't have any playmakers. You know, and again, this is my observation of watching them on film, and I get to see all their games by picking them up on ESPN when I ever go up to work with them, and offensive line is just, I mean, it's not what they've had in the past. You know, and again, the quarterback against UCLA just made some mistakes. You know, UCLA is not a very good football team, as we all know, and I thought they could win that game, and they just weren't good enough at the time in this offense to run it as much as they did against UCLA. And next week, obviously, they cut back and they looked a lot better. But, you know, they're going to get a lot better. Now, I'm going to tell you what he did. He hired a great coaching staff, and it will get better. And for the Tennessee fans, they need to understand it ain't going to be a one-year fix either. Next year might not be much better, just by me looking at it in terms of talent. Now, you know, I've done this for a long time. I think that, you know, if they're going to win next year, it's going to have to be with a lot of young players on the team. It's not going to be a lot of old hands. And who's going to be their quarterback? I mean, who's the next guy on the list? I don't even know.
Well, it's Nick Stevens right now.
What, was he a junior or sophomore?
He's a junior, and they've signed a quarterback out of California named Tyler Bray.
Well, that'll help. You know, committed. The thing about this system that Lane's brought in, again, it is a great system, but it's very complicated. And players have to really, really practice it and get a lot of rep and understanding of it. And again, the offensive line, it's not easy for them either. And there's going to be a lot of change over there next year. So it's going to be interesting. But again, I think Lane is a very, very good football in terms of offense. And of course, we all know what his dad can do defensively. But I rank every team each week for ESPN SEC, and right now I got Tennessee in the middle of the pack, maybe but a little bit below that in terms of what I think they can do throughout the year, and I'm hoping they can do better. I know a lot of those guys on the staff. I'd love to see them, you know, be able to get to a bowl game, but it's going to be a stretch now. It's going to be a real big stretch.
You've talked about Gene Chizik at Auburn and Lane Kiffin at Tennessee. What about the job that Dan Mullen is doing at Mississippi State? When you look at the way they came back from giving up a lot of points and a lot of rushing yards to Auburn in a loss, they won the next week at Vanderbilt. And, of course, I don't think LSU wanted any more of the Bulldogs after that trip to Starkville, which LSU escaped with a win.
You know, that wasn't a fluke. You know, they should have won that game. They beat them all over the field. And if it hadn't been for two or three, you know, big-time plays by guys that have a lot of athletic ability. Now, LSU's got great players, and I'm still yet to understand what's going on, because Charles Scott is as good a running back as in the league. He only carried it 10 times in that game. Hopefully he's not hurt, but we'll find out more about them this week. But I went over and watched Dan Mullins and them practice in 2 days. I was very impressed. But, you know, Dan's one of those guys that he knows what he wants to run, but he's between a rock and hard place too. He's got a passing quarterback in Tyson Lee. He's got a running quarterback in his next guy, and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do. He's kind of alternating them back and forth. It's kind of a makeshift offense right now. It's really not a Dan Mullen type of offense. He's got to get his type of players in there, but he's got a lot of young guys on the team, and they're going to have a much better team next year. The upside for Mississippi State is very good. I'd love to see them get that win just for him. And Mississippi State, they've struggled for so long, but you know that's part of it. You know, you got to know how to win a game in the SEC, and they just hadn't learned enough to know how to win.
In listening to the coaches' teleconference today, there was a writer for the Gainesville Sun that was asking the other Southeastern Conference coaches, since Urban Meyer has taken some criticism from some for Tim Tebow's injury, even though it was a 31-7 game in the third quarter. The question was, when do you pull the starters out and start playing your reserves when it's a lopsided game? And I'm just wondering, how did you handle that at Auburn and at Ole Miss?
I always look for ways to get my backup quarterback game as quick as possible, because he's your future, especially when you're playing a senior. Everybody coaches them different, and it's unusual for Urban to leave his quarterbacks in there through the fourth quarter. I don't care how much they're winning by, that's just the way coaches, and you can't knock that. The guy's been successful, but I've always looked at it differently. I just want to win the game. I don't care whether it's by 1 point or 30 points, and it's a hard game, and all these guys practice during the week, and the more you can get them in there, the better team atmosphere you have in the locker room during the week. Unfortunately for unfortunately for Florida, they've got a lot of opportunities to put Brantley in the game, their backup quarterback, because they're going to win most of their games by big numbers. So Urban really doesn't look at that. I think he tries to leave Tim Tebow in the game long enough to get a few stats up, obviously, for the race for the big trophy, but also to stay fresh and understand what's going on. But, you know, he's not a regular quarterback now. He's a quarterback slash running back, and that's what concerns me about this injury, because I've been around concussions before, and once you get one, it's very easy to get another one. And they're going to have to make sure that he is 100% coming back, and then he's going to have to change his attitude in terms of how to run. And when you do that, you're taking away a lot of your offense. So I'm sure that they're scrambling at Florida right now, trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Because even if he does come back, we can't run him 15, 20 times a game. Because if we do, you might lose him for the rest of the year.
Tommy Tuberville is, I guess, the former Auburn coach. Tommy, as far as Eddie Grand, I've been very impressed with him. I think he's done a really good job with Tennessee's running backs. Tell us a little bit more about Eddie Grand.
Well, Eddie's a young guy that came to me back in 1989. We just won the national championship, and I was in California, and he was coaching out there at a small school, and he came up to me when I was at the national convention and asked me, you know, he'd heard I had a GA job open on the defensive side of the ball when I was a defensive coordinator there, and I said, well, I'd love to do it. And so we sat down and talked, and I said, if you really want it, you need to be there Monday. This is Friday. You got 2 days to get to Miami. That's a long drive. And he was there, and he worked for me for a few years, went off to Cincinnati and coached at Cincinnati, and ended up going, I think, to Idaho. And then I hired him at Ole Miss 15 years ago, and best recruiter I've ever been around. And the old boy's coached a lot of good football players in his lifetime and has recruited most of them. And he's got, I don't know, 4 or 5 running backs in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. And the players like him. He really gets after him. He's a great special teams guy, too. He works it that hard. And I think he's doing both for Lane.
He is. Sure is. Hey, when you get back into coaching, do you want to stay in the South, or have you put any boundaries on it?
Well, you know, I'm not too fond of cold weather. And that Mason-Dixon line looks awfully hard to crawl over the top of. You know, I just want to coach, Jimmy. I love coaching, and, you know, it was my decision to get out of it here last year. I'd run the course, and I think I've always looked at that knowing, hey, when you've been somewhere for a long time and you got to know when to say when, and there's a few guys right now that need to say that, but I just decided to, hey, let's sit out a year and do it again. I had no intentions of staying out. I knew when I got out, my wife said, there ain't no way you're staying at home. You know, you better get a job. So, you know, hopefully somewhere in the South, any of the conferences is fine. You know, I love to coach and be around kids, and I just enjoy the competition.
Tommy, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much, and best of luck to you in your pursuit of head coaching job next year.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Tommy Tuberville, former Auburn coach and now with ESPN, and always enjoy visiting with him. He's always a great person to talk to.
Very much so. Class act. That's Jimmy Himes from John Wilkerson. Sports Talk continues on the Sports Animal.
It's a full night of Tennessee football each Monday night on The Sports Animal. Find out the latest on the Volunteers with Monday Night Falls at 7 and Fall Calls at 8. Live from the Texas Roadhouse on Morrell Road each Monday night on The Sports Animal.
Late track of the afternoon is going to be Dean Hill at Lockett. They are looking for one. We've had a report of one on Pilsby Parkway northbound at Lovell Road. Kingston Pike eastbound just west of Morrell being worked, as well as Bays Mountain Road at Walnut Springs Road, that one involving a school bus. Also working wrecks on Summit Hill at Hall of Fame, clearing them at Tazewell Pike at Fountainhead Lane and Lions Bend at Glen Cove. Book your weekend getaway at a spectacular Dollywood Vacations cabin. For special deals, check out DollywoodVacations.com. With Metro Skywatch, I'm Left Turn Laverne.
Hound Dogs is back, and they've got long sleeve tees, sweatshirts, jackets, and more for men, women, and children. Hound Dogs, the home of everything orange. Conveniently located off I-40 at the corner of Kingston Pike and Cedar Bluff.
It's time now for your Burger King Sports Update. I'm Chip Kane. The Tennessee Volunteers getting set to take on the Auburn Tigers this weekend. 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time is the slated start time at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee forward Emmanuel Negedu remained hospitalized earlier this week as doctors continue to test and observe him after he collapsed following a workout inside the Neyland Thompson Sports Complex. Our thoughts and prayers with him. With this Burger King Sports Update, I'm Chip Kane.
Great news, hon. I've decided to retire.
Retire?
I've got it all worked out.